football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Continuing tight end week here on Fantasy Football Today. Yesterday, we gave you some sleepers. Today, we've got some breakout tight ends for you. We're also putting a wide receiver, a round two pick, under the microscope. That would be Davante Adams. And we welcome all of you. I am Adam Azer. Hello to Jamie Eisenberg. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, buddy.
And Heath Cummings. Hi.
Hi, Adam.
And that Dave Richard guy. Hey, Dave.
Wow.
Oh, that was weird. We all have a message for you. We all want you to start your fantasy football league right. Do that by booking your draft party at Buffalo Wild Wings at B-Dubs. You'll get a free draft kit and enjoy a draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, and three shareables at a special price. Only at Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, at participating locations, while supplies last. How's tight end week treating you guys?
Well, I've got firm glutes and tight.
Shouldn't have asked. It's also kicker and DST week, which we're not covering on today's show. But tomorrow, little kicker and DST action for you. We're actually recording on Tuesday afternoon. I'm going to publish this on Wednesday morning. So let's start with an email about a tight end. And then we have a voicemail about tight ends. This is from Patrick from a suburb north of Fort Worth.
Dave. Let's go with Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay. Pat. Pretty far north. Where is the Kyle Rudolph love this year?
Oh, man, I knew the intro. Come on, do the intro.
Oh, dear Drew, Michael, Miles, and Allen. Cowboys receivers?
Number one Cowboys receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Only one of them was like a real number one. Miles Austin was never their number one, right? He was
for a couple of years.
He was when Romo first got started.
Even ahead of Dez?
Dez wasn't there yet.
Okay.
And Drew Pearson definitely was, right?
Absolutely. It's weird that Dez isn't on here, but Allen Hurns is.
Yeah, how about that?
Tells you what Patrick from Des Moines, Iowa thinks about Dez.
Where's the Kyle Rudolph love? It feels odd to me not seeing it as how multiple times Kirk Cousins has featured his tight end. Actually, Patrick from Des Moines, we talked about this with Scott Fish. He's very high on Kyle Rudolph because of the Cousins connection. What do you guys think? Is there not enough Kyle Rudolph love in this world?
He just isn't sexy. I think that's the problem, is that he doesn't have the huge upside that you may think of with maybe Trey Burton or Evan Ingram, the track record, or at least the recent track record, of Kelce or Ertz. He's kind of lumped together with Delanie Walker as just a guy that's good, but the ceiling might be a little bit capped.
I'll say something sexy. Wait. Never mind. Kyle Rudolph, I will draft ahead of Evan Ingram.
I agree. I think, like Dave, for example, you think that the upside for Ingram is better, which is understandable,
yeah,
given what, you know, he showed last year as a rookie. So, and for me, it's Burton. You know, I think there's a high ceiling for him, but I understand, you know, taking Rudolph out of those guys for sure, because he's kind of safe. But again, do you want safe or do you want the higher ceiling?
Yeah, you want to go for it, right? This is fantasy football. This isn't your stock portfolio. What is Kyle Rudolph?
Like,
what is Kyle
it.
Rudolph without touchdowns?
Jimmy Graham. Same thing.
Okay, well,
basically every other tight end.
Not every other tight end.
Not
this certainly Evan Ingram.
What's Rudolph has had 60 or more yards in 8 of his last 32 games.
Well, how many times did Ingram get better than that?
Oh, Ingram averaged about 50 yards per game, and he had over 60 yards. I want to say like 5 or 6 games.
There's not a lot of tight ends that get a ton of yards.
No, that's why the big ones go early.
Right.
But if you start Rudolph in any given week, you're hoping he scores, not that he gives you 70 or 80 yards. Like, at least Delanie Walker can do that sometimes.
And I don't.
Burton should be able to do that too.
As much as Kirk Cousins has featured his tight ends, I mean, Jordan Reed athletically is a different player than Kyle Rudolph when he's right.
Mm-hmm.
And to an extent, even though he's older, Vernon Davis is too. So those two guys do a lot of different things than what Kyle Rudolph typically will do. But, I mean, Rudolph he's a very safe number one tight end. He's just not somebody I think you reach for. I think he's someone you settle for.
And I think he'll absolutely be in the mix in the red zone. Remember, sure. John DeFilippo. I'm dropping DeFilippo's name every time we talk about the Vikings, but he's coming from Philadelphia. They leaned on the tight end in the end zone. He might score in 7 games.
Yeah.
That's seven weeks where he'll be good for your fantasy team.
Okay. I think those 7 weeks will be great for your fantasy team, given what tight ends typically
It'll
do.
Be anywhere from 7 to 11 fantasy points.
A lot of one catch for 1 yard touchdowns.
He's done that, though.
Sure.
Okay, Kyle Rudolph was number 6 in non-PPR, number 8 in PPR last year. The year before that, he was number 3 in PPR, number 2 in non-PPR. He had 132 targets that season. He had 81 last season. He played 16 games both years. So will he get 100 targets this year, Kyle Rudolph?
Under.
Then he's probably not going to be worth reaching for.
Huh?
He's not going to be worth getting excited about if he's not going to get 100 targets.
That's the thing. It's right. You know, the year before when he was awesome, he was with a quarterback that really leaned on tight ends, as we've talked about with Bradford. It was a terrible offensive line, so Bradford had to get the ball out quick, which is why his completion percentage, I think, was what it was. And you had Stephon Diggs banged up. You had Adam Thielen really not big part of the offense till the end of the season. And so now you have those two guys hopefully playing, you know, 13 plus games and what should be a good, you know, receiver out of the backfield in Cook. Again, I think Rudolph is a top 10 tight end. You know, where he slots in the top 10 is, I guess, a matter of preference.
Cool. All right. Moving on. Let's get our voicemail of the day. Another tight end question. Our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Our voicemail address is 954-689-3199. 954-689-3199. Here we go.
Hey, guys. Chris from Palm Coast, Florida here. Quick question. You guys keep talking about, you know, the top three tight ends and how there's a big drop-off, and, you know, a couple of the other earlier shows were about taking one of those big three tight ends in the first four rounds. I've been doing some mocks and, you know, understanding my league. I've been able to get Greg Olsen, Kyle Rudolph, you know, one of those other maybe top seven tight ends that I think has just as much upside as the top three later on in round 6, 7, you know, sometimes maybe even later when people start taking quarterbacks early. But I don't really like wasting one of my – not wasting. I don't really like taking one of those top three tight ends so early when I can get a better running back or receiver value versus the tight end spot, especially because, in my opinion, I think, you know, Greg Olsen, Kyle Rudolph, those guys can perform just as well as the Gronks, those guys up there. So,
ooh,
love the feedback. Right. Just want to get your thoughts on that. More tight end talk. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, that is what stands out. He says they have just as much upside, those mid-round. He specifically talked about Olsen and Rudolph, and he said that those mid-round guys have just as much upside as the top three. And look, Kyle Rudolph was a top three tight end 2 years ago. Greg Olsen was a top three tight end 3 years ago, and he had a really good year. He had 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. But none of us really feel that way, right? Like, do we think that those mid-round picks have as much upside as the top three?
I think Greg Olsen's upside and Kyle Rudolph's upside are probably in two different places.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think Greg Olsen has the upside, and actually I'm writing about something today about the upside of those mid-range tight ends. And I do think Greg Olsen has top three upside. But it's not just about what is the number that is their upside. It's also about how likely are they to reach that upside. Ertz, Kelsey, and Gronk are more likely to reach that upside than Olsen is.
The thing with Ertz, which is interesting, is he's never been a touchdown guy prior to last year. You know, it was always four touchdowns was kind of where he lived. And then last year made the jump to 8.
Kelsey too, right?
Kelsey was 4 or 5.
Kelsey's been there for 2 years now, right?
I wasn't sure. I thought I know he had 8
last
year.
He's been there a year longer than his stats actually say because he missed, I think it was his rookie year.
Okay, sorry.
No, but his last 2 years, I think he's been 6 or more, right?
No. 5, 5, 4, 8.
5, 5, 4, 8.
Yep.
Oh, so he also.
And Ertz is 4, 3, 2, 4, 8.
But the 2016, he had 1,100 yards receiving, so that kind of makes up for a lack of touchdowns.
Absolutely. I think with Ertz, if he loses his touchdowns, which I know is a big point of contention with you, Heath, with where Carson Wentz will be, if those touchdowns do go away for the Eagles in their passing game, then it would not be a surprise if Olsen's better than Ertz.
And with Gronkowski in the regular season, you know, he had like 3 touchdowns in 8 games 2 years ago, and he had 8 touchdowns last year. So I don't want to talk about all that today. We have a tight end preview coming up in a few weeks, but it is kind of interesting that he scored 11 touchdowns in 22 games over his last 2 regular seasons. That's an 8 touchdown pace. That does not give him the separation, Gronkowski, this is, from the rest of the pack. However, you know, it just, Tom Brady was suspended for a couple of those games. He's playing a little hurt. I think he was huge in the playoffs in terms of touchdowns, except for maybe the Jacksonville game when he got hurt, this last season. So, I mean, like, I think Gronkowski separates himself from the pack guys because I expect 10 to 12 touchdowns. And that's the only guy I can say that for.
We just finished a mock draft and I was having a conversation with Will Brinson, who's in the draft. And he said, doesn't it feel a little bit early where Kelce and Ertz went? And Kelce went in toward the back end of round two, which is typically where he's going, anywhere from the back end of round two, beginning of round three. And Ertz went, I think, in the middle of round three. And if you are so inclined to wait on that next group of guys, which is going to be Olsen, Graham, Ingram, Walker, Rudolph, and probably Burton, then wait.
Yeah. Yep.
Because you never know which of those guys can be there. Now, it's, you know, it probably behooves you to try and take one of those guys at least, but you could also take it a step further if you want to and you know, kind of play tight end roulette.
Do you guys sort of agree with this? I don't want to give away our whole tight end preview, but I'm sure we'll have new listeners at that point. We'll have new thoughts. You can't win a fantasy football league without good running backs. You can't win a fantasy football league without good wide receivers. You can win a fantasy football league just sort of getting by at tight end. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
It
makes it easier, though, if you have a good one.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree with you because running backs and wide receivers are two positions. I think you can win a fantasy football league piecing together your number three receiver or even your number two running back. I don't think you can do it with two bad running backs.
I think you can do it piecing together your number two receiver. Just given how number two receiver just doesn't vary in points very much from number three receivers. Those guys are all kind of in the same boat. They're only 3-4 fantasy points per week separating them, which is weird. You'd think it would be higher than that. You can also win a league without a great tight end. But what you really need to win a league is to get somebody off waivers who blows up. And if you do that at tight end, that just makes your team all the stronger.
Sure. Yeah, or a late round draft pick, something like that. So we gave you some sleepers yesterday. How about some breakouts today? And I have some rankings questions for you. You know, why don't we do those rankings questions right now? Ranking question number one. Why does Dave have Zach Ertz ahead of Travis Kelce in a non-PPR league? He's got Kelce second and Ertz third in PPR, but he has Ertz ahead of Kelce behind Gronkowski in non-PPR. Dave, explain yourself.
I just think that there's room for Ertz to improve on his numbers from last year. Remember, he put up those numbers in 14 games, and I think he's got a chance to topple 120 targets. And Philadelphia didn't add Sammy Watkins to their receiving core. Kansas City did. Kansas City also made a change at quarterback. And I think Mahomes could be a little more aggressive downfield, even than Alex Smith was last year. I think that's in the cards for Kansas City. It's part of what makes Mahomes so exciting in 2018. I'm a little worried that Travis Kelce's numbers could fade just a little bit and Ertz's could go up just a little bit. So in non-PPR, I would take Ertz ahead of Kelce, but in PPR, I still have Kelce ahead of Ertz.
It's funny because obviously Sammy Watkins' pedigree is better than what the Eagles added, but getting Sproles back, we've never seen Ertz and Sproles coexist together to the level that Ertz showed last year because Sproles got hurt early in the season. And Mike Wallace, I think, is an upgrade on Torrey Smith. I think that remains to be seen, but I would view it that way. So I would almost think that the production of those two guys to what the relationship with Ertz is worse than the relationship of Watkins to Kelce. Now the quarterback change obviously has something to do with it. We'll see how Mahomes, you know, translates to running this offense. But I just think that what those two guys for Philadelphia will take away from Ertz is worse than what Watkins will take away because Watkins really hasn't done much outside of that second season that he had.
Mark it down. First time that Darren Sproles and Mike Wallace are factors that would take away numbers from another player in fantasy football. I think the Philadelphia running backs are all kind of going to take away from each other. They're all going to have numbers of their own.
So basically what you're saying is Sproles and Wallace aren't factors at all?
No, I didn't say that, but they're not going to be factors compared to Sammy Watkins, Jamie. Sammy Watkins will have better numbers than Wallace and Sproles combined, at least receiving numbers. Don't want to take away the rushing numbers. Yeah, they will.
Okay.
If
you believe that, fine, but it's not true.
I do agree that Wallace is an upgrade on Torrey Smith because Wallace can actually catch a ball farther than 15 yards downfield.
One other thing. if Alshon Jeffrey is not ready for week one, if Alshon Jeffrey misses significant time, that's a big boost to Zach Ertz.
And we'll see if Carson Wentz is ready for week one, too.
I think this is a pretty good bet. I was just looking to see what my projections were for Darren Sproles and Mike Wallace, and it was 975 yards, and I've got Sammy Watkins at 947, so I think that's a...
How many touchdowns? Receiving only.
7 and 5.
Wow. 7 for Sammy?
I'll take the under on those yards for Sammy.
There's one other
thing,
that's
pretty aggressive for Sammy.
In this argument, it's like, it's not just Sproles and Wallace. Sproles plus Wallace. Don't we have to subtract Torrey Smith from there, too? Because he's replacing Torrey Smith, but Ertz existed with Torrey Smith last year.
Well, only if you subtract Albert Wilson.
Are you, okay, fine.
Ooh, and they're like, Albert Wilson's probably better than Torrey Smith.
All right, let's do one more rankings question. Heath, Austin Hooper, you've got him in your top. Well, you got him 14th in non-PPR, 16th in PPR. That's a lot higher than Dave and Jamie on Austin Hooper.
Yeah, and I saw that in the notes, and I was like, oh, yay, I get to defend Austin Hooper. Let me get excited about saying something good about Austin Hooper. I think Hooper, like most of the Falcons' offense, had a little bit of bad luck in terms of red zone production last year. I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, kind of expect him to get more in the 5-touchdown range, somewhere between 500 and 600 yards. That slots in as a number 2 tight end.
Okay, works for me. Austin Hooper. Time now for our fantasy profile presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll continue to talk about tight ends, then we'll take a little break and put Devontae Adams under a microscope. We've got some news and notes from around the NFL. We'll look at round 4 of average draft position on Fantasy Pros and half PPR. Yesterday we did round 3. But right now, time for our fantasy profile. It's once again presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. Profiling an underrated fantasy football player. Listeners, get to know these guys. They could be the key to winning your season. And again, we have 3 for you. Actually, we have 2 because we have a shared breakout. Dave and Jamie have Trey Burton as a breakout. Heath goes a little bit deeper with Ravens rookie tight end Hayden Hurst. But yeah, there's a lot of industry excitement about Trey Burton. So, Damie, kick it off with Trey Burton, Bears tight end.
I think he's going to work very well in that role that Travis Kelce has been in for the past couple of years with Kansas City. Kelce in Kansas City, as you know, lines up all over the field, isn't your traditional tight end. And Matt Nagy was very familiar with working with him there. Nagy, now the head coach of the Chicago Bears, picked Trey Burton in free agency. And Burton is going to be the guy who will probably play the slot more often than anything else on the field. I don't think he's going to leave the field very often for Chicago. In limited playing time last year in Philadelphia, which is a similar scheme, both came from Andy Reid's playbook, he scored 5 touchdowns. I just think that he's going to be a mismatch for everyone. I love what the offense could look like for Chicago, kind of a mix of West Coast and spread stuff. And I think that'll really boost Trey Burton. He's going to get a career high in targets, catches, yards. That's easy stuff for him because his highs already aren't that high. But I think he can get close to 8 touchdowns. I'm taking him around 6. I think he's going to be one of the better tight ends in fantasy this year.
Okay. So, Jamie, anything to add on Trey Burton?
No, he's a top 5 guy for me. I would take him over Graham, over Ingram, over Rudolph, over Walker. I just I have orange and blue rose-colored glasses.
He's a talented player. I don't know. You watched more than I did, Jamie, but he reminded me the way they used him a little bit, kind of like Aaron Hernandez, both at the University of Florida. I mean,
yeah, I mean he can clearly throw the ball. He's a
yes,
quarterback.
Exactly.
He's versatile. They can line him up with Adam Shaheen. A lot of people ask us about that. Why would they draft Shaheen so high last year? Obviously, different coaching staff, but. I think just to me, it's not so much about what Burton is capable of. It's what Trubisky is capable of in getting Burton to the level I expect him to be at, because I think the scheme will be there for him. The offense is in place for him. The role is there for him. We've seen him featured every time Zach Ertz was hurt and he's performed well fantasy wise. I think the Eagles obviously value him. They value that second tight end, which is why they spent the pick on Dallas Goedert. But Burton, I think, has the potential to be what Michael Turner was when he left the Chargers to go to Atlanta, ooh, what Wes Welker was when he nice. Left the Dolphins to go to the Patriots.
Ah. Huh? I like these kind of random references.
Yeah, it's the guy that was in a secondary role that finally got featured and became a star. Emmanuel Sanders when he left Pittsburgh to go to Denver. You know, those type of players. I think Burton is one of those guys. I mean, I know I may be overvaluing him and getting, you know, too excited about him, but I just think that if you're the definition of a breakout, he fits that to a T.
And so that's kind of what we're talking about is how high is too high for Trey Burton. Because in the draft that we just did, we completed it about a half hour ago. And it seemed like we were going to complete it about an hour ago, but man, things got very slow around round 12, Brinson. Trey Burton, Dave, you did take him. You took him in round 7, in the middle of round 7, in a 12-team league.
Stole him.
Yeah. So that, what pick was that? That would be like 78 or something like that?
I'll tell you exactly what it was, Adam, because that's what I'm here to do, is to tell you things that you should already know. 79th overall.
And on Fantasy Pros, Trey Burton is low. He's the 10th tight end off the board. I'm looking, I think, at half PPR, and he's 97th, or is a standard. 97th off the board, the standard scoring, non-PPR. So, Heath, you're lower than Dave and Jamie on Burton. I think you have him 9th. Dave and Jamie have him, I think, 6th and 5th, respectively. How early would you pull the trigger on Trey Burton?
I mean, I would not take him before Olsen, Graham, Rudolph, Walker, or Ingram. I don't disagree that he has upside to go that high. There's just also a lot of unknown. We are projecting a lot of success on Mitchell Trubisky. And he was terrible last year in a terrible situation, and I don't want to hold that against him. But there's also still a decent chance that he's just not as good as we're all hoping he's going to be in this new system.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like they're making this system for him. Like,
well, that's not true. I mean, this is Matt Nagy's system.
No, they're adding RPOs and spread concepts that he ran in college. That's not part of what Matt Nagy came up doing. He knows about it, but Matt Nagy comes from the West Coast.
And Helfrich, too, right?
Well, that's the thing, is Helfrich basically knows the system that Trubisky ran in college. And they're going to weave the two together.
And it may work beautifully. There is still a little bit of hoping to go with the Bears offense.
Yeah, no, that
it
makes
is,
sense.
It is.
But it feels very similar to the Rams. Same situation. Quarterback drafted early, terrible system.
Right,
all
a year
sudden,
of
offensive-minded coach comes in.
Oh, we saw two terrible rookie quarterbacks be good last year. Carson Wentz was awful as a rookie.
Yeah, it's a good call.
And they gave him weapons, similar to what they did to Trubisky.
I'm watching Trey Burton's college highlights. I mean, he ran one in the Wildcat formation. He's returning a punt right now. Like this, if you haven't really seen Trey Burton, he's a really good athlete.
I don't think they're going to have him return punts.
No, I'm just saying, like they used him. They used him the way tight ends don't get used that way. That's my point. All right. Heath, your tight end breakout is Hayden Hurst for the Baltimore Ravens.
And I'd like to show you some tape of his from college, but it was black and white back then. Because he's so old. No, I am very excited about Hayden Hurst. I was a little bit excited when he got drafted by the Ravens. It's just they spent a first-round pick on him, and they throw the ball to their tight ends so often, 135 targets last year, 158 targets the year before. And then all they've done this whole summer is gush about him. He was way ahead of schedule at their OTAs. He's talking about the rapport he's building with both Flacco and Lamar Jackson, because I think he's probably hoping for the same thing we all are. But I think there's a chance that he just steps in, and it's kind of a situation like Evan Ingram last year, where he just gets a ton of targets for a rookie tight end. And I kind of like the fact that he's older. I think the fact that he's 25 years old may help him handle his rookie year as a tight end better than 21 or 22-year-olds do.
How many touchdowns did he have in college?
Oh, like three or four, right? Or something? Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah. He made a lot of great plays, but
he's athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah, just for an old guy.
20,
and legitimately, he's 24, 25.
Do you worry about Mark Andrews, though, and what the role he'll play is?
I worry about it a little bit, but they took him, what, 2 rounds after they took Hayden Hurst, and I've seen more buzz around Hurst. I assume they took the guy in the first round that they value more as a playmaker. I don't think they took him in the first round because they thought he was a great blocker, because I don't know that he is a very good blocker.
Oh,
they
he's throwing a pass.
Had him both rated high.
He just threw a pass in his college highlight reel.
Hayden Hurst?
Hayden Hurst. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's an athlete.
Get excited, Adam.
he's a former baseball player.
He's a former baseball player.
Oh, okay. So he's got an arm on him. I'm going to watch this one last play, It's a fourth down and six. They need it. They're home against Georgia. Oh, it hit him over the middle. He's still going. He broke like three of, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in. Hayden Hurst, old man Hurst. You've got him 11.
You can get him with one of your last three picks on draft day.
Yeah.
As of now, you know, once headlines start rolling in about how great he is in training camp, then that'll change.
Well,
yeah,
I don't
imagine he gets too high. The rookie tight end stink still.
It's mostly true. Rookie tight ends usually do stink.
Who do the Ravens have week one?
Buffalo.
That's not a bad streaming matchup. It's not great, but it's not bad.
All right, that is our fantasy profile presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. Trey Burton, little Hayden Hurst love. I didn't mean to take away from what Heath was saying about Hurst. They usually do stink. That's good because that will drive his value down. People won't really want to buy in, but we're talking about a team that does feature the tight end quite a bit, as Heath outlined. Brandon Cook signed a 5-year contract extension, guys. What do you think? Does that matter at all?
Well, he's set for life now, so it matters to him.
I would guess it matters to him, yes.
It matters to me a little bit. They're committed to him, you know? It's important.
Wait, I thought when guys were motivated when they were in their contract year, so once they got their contract, they wouldn't be as motivated
anymore. That might be true, but... You know, just comparing this to the Sammy Watkins situation where he was a bust for the Rams, I don't know. Seems like this has a much better chance of succeeding.
Well, I hope they give him more targets than Sammy got.
Yeah.
Sammy got 70 targets and still scored a lot of touchdowns.
I don't think I blame the Sammy being a bust on Sammy last year.
I agree.
He was pretty great when they threw him the ball.
Whatever it is, I wasn't blaming it on him. I'm saying this has a better chance of succeeding, primarily because it didn't take place in training camp, the trade.
Their matchups are brutal for what Cooks is going to face as number one cornerbacks. Absolutely miserable.
Yeah. He's going to take the top off. This is going to be – his arrival is good news for Woods and Kupp.
Yeah, I still think Watkins. I still think Cooks is the third best fantasy receiver for the Rams.
Le'Veon Bell is expected to skip training camp but report for the beginning of the season. And that's good. The Saints wide receiver Cameron Meredith hopes to be cleared for training camp as he recovers from a knee injury. Do you guys find yourself drafting Cam Meredith?
Late?
No.
I haven't. I've drafted Ted Ginn.
He did get drafted in our draft. He went late in the 12th round of a 12-team league, so about 140th overall, and then I took Tyrell Williams with the next pick. I was surprised Heath didn't take Tyrell Williams earlier. You like him.
Yeah, I went receiver early in that draft, so I was spending my late picks on other things.
Like Hayden Hurst, who you took in that same round.
Yes.
Rob Gronkowski will not hold out, according to Adam Schefter, not miss training camp. And those are your news and notes. Let's put a second round pick under the microscope. We have done first round picks and second round picks. Gurley, Bell, Zeke, Johnson, Gordon, Barkley, Hunt, Fournette, Hopkins, Brown, Beckham, Julio, Thomas, Green, Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, and now... The guy who was the number 13 wide receiver in non-PPR, number 14 in PPR, here is Davante Adams. He had 74 catches for 885 yards and 10 touchdowns in 14 games last year. He obviously only had a chunk of them with Aaron Rodgers. Interestingly enough, guys, Davante Adams averaged something like 9 more yards per game without, 11 more yards per game without Aaron Rodgers than he did with Aaron Rodgers. Your thoughts?
I just think it's a testament to Adams that he did that. He's really turned out to be a very fine NFL receiver. And he's worthy of being called the number one guy in Green Bay. If he can still put up good numbers with Brett Hundley, then that just tells you how good of a receiver he is.
Yeah. So as I outlined on a show last week, or I think it was the one that aired on Monday that we recorded on Friday, Jordy Nelson, in his last two healthy seasons with Aaron Rodgers, before last year, was a top three wide receiver and would have been number one in 2014, whenever Aaron Rodgers missed all that time. Based on the 8 games they played together, Nelson was amazing. That was 2013. Do you guys value Davante Adams the way you valued Jordy Nelson?
I'm not ready to say Davante Adams is peak Jordy Nelson yet.
Jamie, Dave?
I don't think they're exactly the same type of player. Mm-hmm. But
I'm hoping Davante Adams masters the back shoulder fade.
Which can be taught, which is a good thing. And touchdowns have really helped him. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season yet. He's had 22 touchdowns in his last 30 games. About a 62.5% catch rate, which is really good. I don't see who else is going to be that number one guy for Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers is our number one fantasy quarterback, or at least mine. And I still believe that this Packers offense is going to have to throw quite a bit. So volume is in his favor. Catch rate's in his favor. The yards should come into play. And double-digit touchdowns each of the last two seasons tells you everything you need to know about him. He actually feels safe to me. And I also like that I think I have this right. The Packers have had a top 12 fantasy receiver in four of the last five seasons.
Oh, they've had multiple in a couple of those seasons. And it was Nelson.
I think it's
Nelson
only one
Cobb.
Of the only one.
No, two. I'm almost positive. Nelson and Cobb 1 year, Nelson and Adams 2 years ago.
All right, so twice.
Yeah, I can double check. Yeah, no, I'm double checking right now. It is true. 2014, Nelson and Cobb were both top seven. 2016, Nelson and Adams were both top nine. And they do that without it, you know, it's not like Rodgers throws the ball a ton. He's just so good. So let's look at where you guys have Davante Adams in your rankings. Jamie has Adams eighth in both non-PPR and PPR at wide receiver. Dave has Adams sixth in non-PPR and eighth in PPR. And Heath has Adams ninth in both formats. So, yeah, why not Adams over AJ Green? Let me just go there.
I like Green's track record.
If the touchdowns decline a little bit for Adams, he will not produce what AJ Green can do, catches and yards wise.
But
and he's never produced like AJ Green.
But yet. Do we know that? Because we've never really seen him. We've never seen him be the number one guy. We saw it for one game. One game this year, he had about 100 yards and a touchdown. Week two, Jordy Nelson got hurt. He played like six snaps. Davante Adams had a massive game. We haven't seen this opportunity for him. You know?
No, but we're projecting it.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't think
but
he's...
But we've
you
seen
think
it for several years from Green.
So you don't think he's like a 1,400-yard guy?
No.
No, but Green can be.
Right. Okay, and one other thing. I mean, this guy, he suffered two concussions last year and one the year before. It's a huge deal for Davante Adams. Do you guys factor that in?
No.
No.
I think almost every player in the NFL is one bad concussion away from not playing for half or the rest of the season. So
I wouldn't go that far as half of the rest of the season.
They're all injury risk. Every player is an injury risk.
All right. I just remember how we used to treat like Jordan Cameron. And
well, I mean, he was him and Austin. Well, what was his name? Austin Collie.
Yeah.
Those guys were just, you know,
you knew that like
bad
things
were for their lives.
Right. Right.
Okay. All right. That's Davante Adams under a microscope. And Buffalo Wild Wings understands that being a fantasy football league manager is a tough job, so it's important to get a good first impression. That all starts with the draft. And if you want your league to love you, book your draft party at B-Dubs. You're going to get a bunch of things. You're going to get a free draft kit, enjoy a special draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, three shareables for a special price to feed your league. Come in and get to drafting up some league manager love at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations. While supplies last. What sides should we go with, Heath, if we're getting three sides at Buffalo Wild Wings?
Well, there's one side that I always get every single time. So it's the buffalo chips.
Oh, I love those.
Yes, buffalo chips with cheddar jack melted over them.
That sounds great.
And a side of ranch. It's just amazing.
Do you ever get the potato wedges?
I have. I don't like them as much as the buffalo chips. Also, they have, I believe they have fried mushrooms and fried pickles on their happy hour menu.
I'm in.
Both delicious.
Yeah, I like mushrooms are just amazing. You want to hear a great food take? I don't know if I've said
this
before.
None of you just said mushrooms are amazing.
This one you won't disagree with. Nobody could possibly disagree with this. And I apologize if I've said this. But the food that gains the most value when it goes from raw to cooked is onions. No food gains more flavor value or food value than onions going from raw to cooked.
Well, meat.
Yeah, I think meat probably does.
All right, aside from the ones that... just
pasta.
The food that you can actually eat either way. Meat. That's a good one. But like onions, I don't want anything to do with them if they're not cooked. If they're cooked, I want everything.
Oh, I hate them uncooked.
Right? They're terrible. But who doesn't like a nice sautéed onion, a grilled onion?
Caramelized onions.
Right? The best.
Yeah.
Then again, I don't eat raw meat either, so this is a tough call.
Finally, something that seems like you guys agree with me on. Do you see my top three action movies list?
No, I try to avoid you as much as possible.
I had to block you on Twitter because you kept blowing my mentions up by replying.
You did not block me on Twitter.
All of our tweets at the same time at 11:30 at night. So my phone just beep, beep. Got,
without even
beep.
Thinking. Oh, what the? Turn your notifications off. Are you kidding? That's so easy. Without even thinking, top three action movies, go.
Top three action movies?
Yeah, ever.
Die Hard?
Uh-huh.
Love Die Hard. Love Fight Club.
Not an act. I don't think Fight Club's an action movie.
Rambo?
Rambo. I got that. Okay, here were mine, just to give you guys some help. One, Terminator 2. Two, of Die course. Hard. Three, Predator.
Last Action Hero.
Predator. But I think I might replace it with Bad Boys.
What?
Yeah, Bad Boys is awesome, dude. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but it's not one of the best action movies of all time.
I might like Black Panther more than all of those.
No, comic book movies don't count.
What about Star Wars?
Why?
They're a different genre. They're a different
genre. What
about
Rogue One?
See, I don't think...
Rogue One, yeah, Rogue One might belong.
I don't
think... That's a great action movie.
I don't think sci-fi movies count either, really.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Not really sci-fi.
What is this?
I never
what
saw
is
it.
Predator?
Can you give us like a definition of
I think
the
you know. I think
isn't
you
Terminator
know.
2 sci-fi? There's a robot yeah. in it from the future.
That's a great point. But it's also
does
an Arnold movie.
Count? Or no
all right, all right. I'll let sci-fi in. The one that kept getting votes was Aliens, which I've actually never seen, but it didn't seem sci-fi. Like it fit the genre of an action flick, but I've never seen it.
You've never seen Aliens, the second one?
No, I've never seen the second one. I saw the first.
What about Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No, adventure movie. It doesn't count. All right. Let's look at ADP.
Here's a take you'll agree with me. The category we can't agree on, but the take will agree with you.
Here's the ADP in half PPR round four. We have – oh, I forgot to mention who's coming on the show later. Total – oh, wow. And I screwed up the intro to Regulators. Fantasy Regulators is coming up later. But right now, let's look at ADP. 37 through 48, in average draft position. Kenyon Drake. We'll do it four at a time. Kenyon Drake, Amari Cooper, Larry Fitzgerald, Deshaun Watson, the number two quarterback off the board. He is in early round four. Kenyon Drake, Amari Cooper, Larry Fitzgerald, Deshaun Watson. React.
There are some people that just have to have Deshaun Watson on their fantasy team. This is when you have to take him.
No.
If you have to have
no.
him.
You could take him in the fifth.
Oh, I'm not saying you should take him in the fourth. But if you have to have him, this is not analyst advocated. Round four is it.
I'm going to say that like Deshaun Watson as the number two quarterback off the board, I feel the same way as I do about Trey Burton as a number five tight end. Deshaun Watson has enough upside to be the number one quarterback easily.
Yeah.
He was on his way there last year.
I can't take him over that group of quarterbacks right before. I can't take him over Brady.
No.
Yeah.
I've got Rodgers, Brady, Wilson, Watson.
I think Drake is – I drafted him today at the end of the third round in our non-PPR draft, and I love it, and I'm terrified at the same time.
I really love Kenyon Drake, but I heard from someone that I trust that Frank Gore is going to be much more of a factor than we anticipated.
Oh,
and
no.
Kalen Ballage is also going to take away touches. There's a very strong school of thought that Frank Gore will actually split carries evenly with Drake and that Adam Gase will get Drake his touches in the passing game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Adam Gase will get fired.
That could happen.
It seems likely.
Yeah.
Based on this report.
It's a terrible
idea. It's like
he
forgot what happened to Drake last year.
Terrible
idea.
It was
awesome.
I mean, look, Kenyon Drake was very good last year, but he's never been a starter. He was a backup in college in Alabama. He was a backup his first year and a half in the NFL. And even when Jay Ajayi was first traded, we had this frustrating situation of Damian Williams and Drake and who's the guy until Drake kind of separated himself, or maybe Williams just wore down. But I think Heath, you kind of summed it up well, is that you can somewhat feel excited about Kenyon Drake, but there is a strong possibility that it may not materialize until the midpoint of the season. But I kind of feel about Frank Gore almost as like the new Ronnie Hillman. Like he's just the cockroach that won't go away, you know, and I don't mean that derogatorily, because he's a Hall of Famer, but, he just continues to be a factor wherever he has been, in some cases in a good way, but I think in this case could be a negative way because he's 35.
Well, that was disgusting. I just want to say something positive about Kenyon Drake. I'm sure that's what scares me. Everything Jamie just said. The last 8 weeks of last year, he had 137 touches, 750 yards, 4 touchdowns, and he was the number 9 running back in fantasy.
Yeah, he was really good. And
as many things as the Dolphins have tried to do with their offense that have completely fallen on their face, Kenyon Drake as a feature back was one thing that worked, so I guess it makes sense that Adam Gase would do something different.
What the hell?
Well, Damian Williams
actually got hurt.
Could
they just not trust him? Is that really what it comes down to?
I mean, it's just I think what ends up happening with these coaches is you have a guy. Look, Frank Gore does a lot of things right, but he does them at this point of his career slower than what Drake is and not as explosive as what Drake is and not as high of a ceiling as what Drake is. Forget about fantasy, just on the field. And so he knows when he's standing in at the, you know, in the backfield, okay, I need to be here on pass protection, whereas Drake may have to sort of figure it out for a second. And he knows which routes to run, where Drake may still take a, you know, two steps, where, you know, Gore's cutting an angle on a different, you know, route. So, you know, coaches see things a little bit differently, but once the game happens and things unfold, Drake showed, or at least showed us, and what you would have hoped showed the coaching staff there. The one thing I think that you could take solace in is that they did not pay Gore a lot of money. They did not spend an early pick to get Kalen Ballage. So, you know, Drake is still somebody I think that they're invested in. Again, just the what I was told, it's not like Drake is getting benched. It's not like Drake is going to be a smaller part of the offense. He's just not going to be the featured guy, I think. Like, it's almost similar to the report we got about Christian McCaffrey. Like, they bring in C.J. Anderson, and he's going to get the bigger workload. You know, I just think Gore's going to take away enough from Drake that he may not have that huge breakout potential that we saw at the end of last season.
Back in April, there was a report that Kenyon Drake added 5 or 10 pounds in anticipation of a heavier workload. And hopefully he gets it. All right, next group of four in round four, after Drake, Cooper, Fitzgerald, and Watson. And let me just go back and frame it, because Drake is the first pick of round four in a 12-team league, 37th overall. So he's the 18th running back off the board. Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, they had gone before him. Obviously, like Jordan Howard, LeSean McCoy, they're gone. So Drake, then Cooper, Fitzgerald, Watson. Next group of four, Jay Ajayi, Alshon Jeffrey, Alex Collins, Juju Smith-Schuster. Jay Ajayi, Alshon Jeffrey, Alex Collins, Juju Smith-Schuster.
I'm taking Collins if I can in late round three.
Okay.
I'm kind of separating him from the group of running backs he was in before. I think he's got some wild upside.
I think we're going to see a lot of fantasy drafts come down to which of that group is better. Out of Mixon, Collins, Drake, Henry, throw McKinnon in there. McCoy will probably settle in this group. Maybe Ingram gets pushed back into this group despite the suspension. And then, you know, whichever rookie tends to creep up into this group of Geis or Penny or, you know, maybe Jones or Freeman. I'm curious with Collins too, because Kenneth Dixon avoided the pup list, so he's going to be back in the fold. They still have Buck Allen. He's going to be part of this. So of those, you know, three guys, will Collins, similar to Drake, will he be able to separate himself from the other guys that will, I think, sort of hurt him a little bit? My biggest fear with Collins is what's going to happen in the passing game, because that's not his forte. He did well toward the end of last season when they started to deal with injuries, but will they lean on Dixon in that role? Will they put Allen in that role? You know, Collins is someone that, you know, hopefully the fumble situation is behind him, but upside wise, he's worth taking, you know, end of round three, beginning of round four.
At least John Harbaugh called Alex Collins his starter. At least he's given us that much.
Yeah, but starter could be
10 carries.
Two series.
Don't rain on this parade, you know.
I have,
it could be two series until somebody else comes in.
Who's getting more touches this year, Kenyon Drake or Jay Ajayi?
That's tricky.
I think touches, I'll take Drake. Carries, I'll take Ajayi.
I have found myself liking Juju Smith-Schuster more and more. It probably has everything to do with the Martavis Bryant trade. But such an idiot today. I had such a terrible draft today. I drafted Antonio Brown in round one and Juju Smith-Schuster in round four. Those are my
your friendship strategy on
starting.
Steroids.
No, it's terrible.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't like it. And then I had Ben Roethlisberger in my queue, and I was like, I can't do it.
Yes, you should have. Shoot,
that
would have
been fun.
That would have been fun.
There's no payment for losing the first round.
Listen, between those two wide receivers, you're going to have a double-digit producer every week. It's going to be Brown most weeks, but you'll have it.
I mean, there's no way, if you had both of those guys, there's no way you wouldn't have at least one very good player. And if Brown gets hurt, you probably have a stud. But Juju is the 19th wide receiver off the board right now. He's with Amari Cooper, Fitzgerald, Alshon, Allen Robinson goes soon. We'll take a look at the next four, because Jamie talked about fantasy drafts being decided by the running backs, or he mentioned the rookies. Well, the final four picks of round four, Darius Geis, Rashad Penny, Allen Robinson, and Demaryius Thomas. Darius Geis, Rashad Penny, Allen Robinson, Demaryius Thomas. So I'll give the whole round again just to refresh everyone's memory. Drake, Cooper, Fitz, Watson, Ajayi, Alshon, Alex Collins, Juju, Darius Geis, Rashad Penny, Allen Robinson, Demaryius Thomas. It's a risky round, guys, isn't it? It's a risky round.
Welcome to fantasy football in 2018.
A ton of upside. A
lot of upside. And I wonder if, depending on who you're drafting with, if it makes sense to take Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I know we're not going to say Deshaun Watson, but if you get to these guys and you're deciding between Drake, Collins, Cooper, Fitzgerald, Aaron Rodgers is there, what do you do?
Take one of the running backs or receivers.
If you have three home run picks, it's not a bad idea to take Rodgers.
I'll take Rodgers at the end of this round. I'm not interested at the beginning.
Between Geis, Penny, Robinson, and Demaryius Thomas, Allen Robinson and Demaryius Thomas, does anyone strike you as... Okay, we're picks 45, 6, 7, and 8. Anybody strike you as good or bad value?
I don't have it ranked this way, but Geis to me has the highest ceiling.
I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of buzz about Geis.
One good preseason game.
Yep. Yeah, right. And he'll just get shot to the moon, and he'll be around three pick. I think Robinson's got upside in Chicago. And I think he can volume his way.
Does it worry you? I agree, yards. But does it worry you that he's still not back to full go?
Let's see how he is at training camp.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, 3 or 4 days into training camp.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he starts on the pup list,
and I still
make everybody freak out.
I still think Demaryius is the best value of that group.
Okay.
Sure, but and that's one of the guys I think you can go after in late. He's safe. To late round four.
I just wonder what the upside is with him. You know, we're expecting a lot. You know, you talked about Trubisky. Obviously, we saw Keenum play well last year, but that's the first time Keenum's done it. And,
right, but
and,
he's not. He doesn't play with good quarterbacks very often.
It's the first time Keenum's been that
totally,
prolific.
Totally, he's it's the first time okay he's been able to stay healthy. I just wonder if the Broncos are looking at it as now they have other players. You know, during the Peyton era, it was two guys. You know, it was Thomas and Welker and then Thomas and Sanders. And Thomas getting older. They drafted two young receivers. They apparently love Cortland Sutton. We talked a little bit yesterday about Jake Butt and what his role could be. They never had – well, I guess they had Julius Thomas. But, you know, at least this post-Peyton phase, they haven't had a competent tight end where Jake Butt could be that guy. I just think that Thomas's ceiling could be a little bit capped. I hope not, but it could be.
And at this point, through 48 picks on Fantasy Pros half PPR, 22 running backs, 21 wide receivers, 3 tight ends, 2 quarterbacks are off the board. We're going to finish the show with your voicemails and some fantasy regulators. Let's go to the voicemails first. 954-689-3199. I got 3 voicemails I'd like to play. 954-689-3199. Let's get it started.
Hey, Jeremy, Jimmy, Ben, and Kobe. This is Eric from Illinois. I just got a question. I'm going into my first ever Dynasty League, 16 teams PPR, so it should be pretty fun. I probably mock draft 200 to 300 times already, just so I'm prepared. I'm curious what you guys would prefer for a start on your team. Let's say I get Hunt at pick 11, and on the swing around of the snake draft, who do you guys prefer to get to build your first two players? Do you go wide receiver? Is it more just who's left? But there's a lot of guys that interest me at that spot, and I think it's pretty interesting. Thanks. Love the show.
All right. Thank you, Eric. So he has a dynasty. He has a 16-team league question. A dynasty, I don't know how important it is. But first of all, Jeremy, Jimmy, Ben, and Kobe. Saints tight ends?
Yes.
There you go. We've talked about this a lot in a 12-team context. Not a bad idea to start running back wide receiver or wide receiver running back. Does anything change in a 16-team league? He has the 11th pick, I think he said, and Eric would take Kareem Hunt 1. What do you do in the second round?
Best available player at running back or wide receiver.
So that second round pick is going to be basically like the end of a second round pick in our drafts almost. Like sure. 21, 22.
Kelce, Baldwin.
Yeah.
Kelce might be great there.
Hilton.
So question about
Kelce.
For a
while at that rare position.
Question about Kelce or even maybe Gronk. Do you care about?
If you're in a startup dynasty and you're
oh, it is dynasty,
gotta,
right.
Got to decide when now or when hopefully now and maybe in the next couple of years as well. So that's the decision between Gronk and Kelce. I would still lean Gronk.
I would probably go Kelce, but they're really, really close.
But my question was, what about taking a tight end in a deeper league? Does that bother you at all?
No, I'm going to try and target one of the big ones to give my team an advantage.
Okay.
Theoretically.
Okay. All right, next voicemail here. Another dynasty question. Ranking three wide receivers. Here we go.
Hey, fellas. It's Josh from Sacramento. In dynasty, who would you want to target out of these three? Josh Gordon, Sammy Watkins, or Amari Cooper?
Gordon, Watkins, Cooper. How would you rank them in a dynasty league?
I got Watkins last of the group, and I'm having an internal debate right now over Cooper versus Gordon.
Cooper, Gordon, Watkins.
I think I would also have it that way.
Yep.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Gotcha. All right, last one.
Is What's Inception an action guy? Movie?
Is Inception? No. Yeah.
No, it's a Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It's sci-fi.
It? By the way, other great candidates for the third spot on the list behind Terminator 2 and Die Hard. Taken, The Rock, The Glass of Water That I Need to Drink.
Too?
Yep, I'm choking. All right, I'm going to play this voicemail and drink water.
What's going on, guys? Buddy, Jacksonville, Florida here. Just got a quick question on draft positioning. So in our league, depending on how you finish, you get to pick your draft position. I am looking at picking 8 or later, half-point PPR. What are your guys' thoughts on which position you guys would take and why? Half point PPR, 12 team lead, pick position 8 or later. Thanks, guys.
Go on.
Yeah, I think this is exactly the type of part of the draft where you're going to go running back, receiver, receiver, running back. And I think you'll have more running backs available to you at this point.
Was he asking what pick we should? He should
8 yeah. or later.
If he's picking 8 or later, what's the strategy?
What's the best player?
I'm sorry, because he...
I thought he was asking what pick he should choose. He gets to choose his
own
pick.
Same. No, he is. He's asking... He can pick 8th or later. Which do you prefer, 8 or later, in a 12-team league?
I'd probably go 8 or 9.
I would take 8, yeah.
Yeah. 8.
Is there a reason?
Wheat.
Why?
I think once you get to the... Unless it just goes from 9 through 12 and back to you, all the receivers come off the board, you have your chance to get Barkley, Kamara, Fournette, Gordon, Cook, whichever guy you favor, and then someone in the range of potentially Keenan Allen, Julio Jones, AJ Green, Michael Thomas, Davante Adams.
Yeah. I think you're in a pretty good position at 8 to have 2 first-round picks you really like in a great tier of running back and a great tier of wide receiver, and even Gronkowski if you like. Maybe what you should think about is who you're looking at in round 3 and where you find the drop-off to be in round 3. And decide if you want to be a little closer to the, you know, the back of round 3 or, you know, depending. Look at rounds 3 and 4. Thank you. Well said, Adam. All right, here we go, everybody. Sorry for the loudness there. It's time to regulate. This is from some guy in some place near some bigger place. He says, hey, Kip, Rico, Pedro, and Deb. That's Napoleon Dynamite. I am in a dynasty league and I need some regulating. Cut to this off season. I can plainly see online that the league champion is picking up players. This is, of course, not allowed, but this particular site does not prevent the champion from picking up players in the offseason. Once a month or so, he makes an acquisition, and then once that transaction disappears from the league homepage, he makes another acquisition. I've taken a screenshot of each acquisition when it has happened, and I've sent it to the commissioner each time. The commissioner has said he will reset this guy's roster to what it's supposed to be before the draft. All right, sum it up. League champ keeps on cheating, keeps on picking up players, and our emailer is calling him out. The commissioner said he'll reset the roster, but I think there should be a penalty for this, says our emailer, and a harsh one. The guy is clearly trying to be sneaky about it because he knows it's wrong, and he's a league champion. As someone who just joined the league last year, I didn't see if this sort of thing went on the previous offseason. How do I know this guy didn't do this last year? I'm thinking of leaving the league if the commissioner doesn't dock this guy a draft pick. Regulate.
If the commissioner resets the roster, there's nothing you should worry about.
Yeah, in my home league, we keep four players each, and I have a friend I've been friends with for 25 years, and he does this just to annoy me. He's not trying to gain any advantage. He just wants me to have to go back and figure out who was supposed to be on his team. It's super annoying. The only penalty I can think of is like a public flogging.
Have you ever told the friend to stop, Heath?
Oh, yeah.
And he keeps doing it anyway?
Yes. He thinks it's hilarious.
Do you do anything annoying to him?
Never.
In retaliation.
I don't really do those types of things, Dave.
Like, you know, throw a brick through his house.
Hey, listen.
Slash his tires.
Can I put on my regulating hat right now?
No. Okay.
You guys.
I think we all have our regulating.
You guys are being soft. You're being soft. This man is cheating the league. He is trying to cheat. He is doing it surreptitiously. He should be docked a fourth round draft pick regulated.
You are a terrible commissioner.
I disagree. I think that's too much. Give him a warning. Tell him if he does it again, he's out of the league.
All right, fine. Alex from an island in the Pacific Northwest says, "Dear Lance, JaVale, Rajon, and LeBron." They're not all Lakers, are they?
They are.
Rajon Rondo's on the Lakers?
LeBron's on the Lakers?
That I do. Okay. My college buddies and I have been playing in a league for 5 or 6 years now. When we started, we had too many participants for one league. Participants for one league. So we decided to divide it into an A league and a D league, similar to the Premier League. Each year, the top three teams from the D league get bumped up, and the bottom three from the A league get dropped down. Everybody following so far?
Yes.
Yep.
It's worked great over the last few years as it forces everyone to set their lineups and pay attention every week through the end of the season. This year, however, one of the members in the A league has decided not to play fantasy. My question is, who should fill that A-League spot? Should it be the fourth-place team from the D-League or one of the three members from the A-League that are being demoted this year? Easy call.
It's someone that gets promoted up.
No, it's somebody from the A-League that's getting demoted.
Yeah, Adam's right. It's not just someone. It's the very best team that was just barely at the cutoff because they have been replaced and dropped by a different team.
I don't like the idea of there being a superior and an inferior league.
I like it a lot.
Oh, I love it, Dave. No, I'm regulating
you.
I think
it's okay if you've got 24 buddies and 12 of them are in one league, 12 of them are in another.
Dave, you suck.
And you rotate them in and out.
You absolutely suck right now.
One league is not bigger than the other. One league is not fancier than the
other. Oh my gosh, we're the regulators. Nate Dogg and Warren G would be so mad at you. Ridiculous. All right.
I don't like it.
From Sean. Sean says, "I was wondering, what are your opinions for the members of a league to use things outside of fantasy football to trade for players? Examples last year of a guy trading Gronk for Carlos Hyde and $50. Or we had a guy trade David Johnson if he did his college algebra homework all semester. I am not kidding." I'm not even going to read the rest of this. Am I being the fun police, or should this be the hill that I die on?
It depends on what kind of league you want to have. In every league that I am in, that is illegal. And
how fun would it be?
Borderline collusion.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
I'll write your article this week if you give me this player.
Yeah. The problem is, the best part about that is it gives guys a way to recoup their entry fee once they've been eliminated.
Jamie That's would just buy me lunches and like take the best players off my team.
This is one of the worst things. Just to regulate, die on this hill. Do not let this happen.
Yes,
kick those people out of the league. This is awful.
Unless they pay you.
I mean, it's kind of fun, but yes, it is awful.
Yes.
Like, give me an extra $100 and you can stay in the league.
We kick so many people out of so many leagues. It's like we're just so mean. Except for Dave. Dave's like Mr. Nice Guy. Everybody should be in the same league, everybody.
Oh, that's how I sound? That's how you're going to have me sound? Hi, I'm Adam Azer. Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie.
All right. We're out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're the regulators, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. Na, 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 na.